This is Brad.
And Pete.
And I'm Kiff. We host Pop Culture Yearbook, and we want to unlock your memories.
Do you love pop culture? Are you nostalgic like us?
Do you want to learn more about your favorite movies, TV shows, and music? Maybe you're just nostalgic to relive a movie or rediscover an album.
We love the 80s and 90s, but with Pop Culture Yearbook, we cover more current topics too. There's something for everyone.
Whether you're a diehard pop culture fan or just someone who's curious about the past, Pop Culture Yearbook is the podcast for you.
So subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform and join us on a journey through our history of pop culture.
Live from the Recall Studio, we're having our first ever musical draft. What the heck does that even mean? You'll have to stay right where you are on the edge of your seats to find out on this all new episode, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome. On this podcast, we'll take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll provide some unique insight and hopefully some awesome memories, fun and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who was always front row at the mall to see Tiffany live, my good friend Rob.
Hey, on behalf of Dave and myself, we'd like to welcome all of you that might be a little hesitant to join us. Hear me out. Maybe you've had a bad podcast experience. If you've been with us from the start, episode 27.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say that we're no strangers to this podcasting gig anymore. And you, the listeners, should know the rules by now, as should we. So this may be a bold statement, but full commitment is what we're thinking of. And you won't get this from any other podcast. So I just want to take a minute to tell you how we're feeling. We just really want to make you understand. Here are seven promises Dave and I are committed to. Number one, we will never give you up. Number two, we will never let you down. Number three, we will never run around. Number four, we will never desert you. Number five, we will never make you cry. Number six, we will never say goodbye. And more importantly, we will never tell a lie that might hurt you. So I feel like we've known each other for a long time. So if we do something that causes your heart to ache, don't be too shy to say it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of emotional times on this show.
No.
Those were
I feel reached a point where we can have these hard conversations with our people out there.
Oh.
So those are seven commitments.
Seven commitments. Yep. I didn't sign off on that, but I'm going to join. Yeah. I guess you're speaking on behalf of both of us for this one.
Absolutely.
So he's the better half of the Dave and Rob experience.
I don't know about that.
If we were a laser light show, we'd be called the Dave and Rob experience. And then they play some of our songs.
Why
and
a laser light show?
Because I liked them when I was a kid. Like, there's no other reason. Wouldn't you like to sit there and have, like, Don't Treat Me Bad or something come on, and then all the lasers hitting at the top of the planetarium?
The planetarium. Why did you enunciate the planetarium?
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Planetarium.
Okay.
The planetarium.
Well, as fun as laser light shows sound, that's not what we're doing today. So why don't you tell them exactly what we are doing on this episode, Rob?
Okay. So we're doing a draft.
A draft.
I believe you've said you've made the audacious statement that this is the first musical draft of its kind. To my knowledge,
I'm sure someone will come out of the woodwork. I did that 10 years ago.
Yeah. So we are looking at the 30 number one hits for the calendar year of 1987.
Yes.
So in the year
from the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah. So on the Billboard Hot 100 in the year of 1987, there were 30 songs that went to number one.
Number one.
So we've taken those 30 and we're going to make a list of 10 each.
So a total of 20.
Okay, yeah, 20 total. Yeah. But we're doing it draft style.
Yes.
So you're going to draft 10. I'm going to draft 10.
Yes.
No repeats.
Cannot repeat. If you're if you have a song and the other person takes it, you need to pivot to a new song, just like if it was in a real draft.
All right.
And what we're going to do is come up with our best 20 number one hits from 1987. So sadly, 10 number one hits will be left to the wayside. So for those of you out there that are big 1987 fans, we apologize in advance, but some of your songs may not make the final 20. Just depends on what we come up with. So
you're feeling good about your draft picks.
Yes, I have a great draft board set up. I've done all my scouting. I had some visits by these bands. Mm-hmm. I've talked to them. I know how they feel. I know what will fit best with my franchise. Yeah. On top of the best 20, because we're going to get the best 21 hits, we are also each going to select three songs that didn't go to number one in 1987, but you and I felt should have, and in fact could be better than some of the actual songs that hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. So normally we'll do a cut to our two cuts and our honorable mention, but this time we're just going to go with the three songs that we chose, and they could not have hit number one, but you thought they should have.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
That, yep. Yeah. Kind of like our sleeper picks. These are the
sleeper picks. Yeah. You're shocked that they didn't go to number one.
Yep.
Because my three, I'm shocked.
Yeah. I think mine as well.
Should've I would have thought that they were easy number one songs. And then there were a few number one songs I thought, I didn't know they got to number one.
Well, there are a couple of number ones that I didn't even know.
That's impossible.
No, there was
I knew all
one
songs.
In particular. I was like, I don't know that I know that song. Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
I had to for this.
And you didn't know it even after listening to it?
No. I was like, nope.
Well, knowing you, that'll be your number one pick now. Yep. So,
that's my strategy.
So that is the strategy. I'm going to go with the song I don't know first, because you'll never see it coming.
Just to throw everybody out.
So, yeah. So, 1987, long time ago.
Yeah.
A year before you and I even met. So, we don't know each other at this time.
You're good at that. I don't remember.
Yeah, we met in 88. We've established that multiple times.
So, I would have been 10. You're 11? No, 12.
So, yeah. 87, I would have been 11.
11, yeah.
10, 11, depending on what time of the year it is. You'd be 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I was kicking butt and taking names in sixth grade. I'm going to go fifth or sixth grade. One of those two. Right? At old Seth Llewellyn Elementary School.
That's right. We didn't go to the same elementary
school. We did not. I moved after elementary school was over for I.
That's right.
And then I hit the junior high. But, 87 had a lot of stuff going on. So
it did.
And a lot of good music,
as it turns out. A lot of things that didn't reach number one.
Yeah. So, shocking.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't like your
well,
that sound was a little defeating.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about the draft.
Why?
Because, well, one, you... Why, you got the first pick.
Yes, I did.
We flipped a coin.
Flipped a coin. Beginning. I have the first pick. It's great. So I'm guaranteed that at least one song that I want really bad. Right? So I'm excited about this. This is going to be great.
I'm a little nervous about the transitions.
No, the transition is going to be perfect.
Because if you pick.
You got to go.
I got to pivot.
It's just like a real live NFL draft room.
I can barely.
Player goes off the board. You got to be ready for the next player.
Walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, you can do it. I have a lot of confidence in you.
All right.
I have some confidence in you. So,
that's a great qualifier. I have some.
And you're our technical guy too. So I'm sure there'll be no hiccups throughout the entire process. So. Well, let's roll out the red carpet then. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to head back to a year when Mike Tyson's Punch-Out debuted and Ronald Miller went from totally geek to totally chic. We're looking at the number one hits of 1987. Well, let's get our first ever number one hits draft underway. As Rob said, we flipped a coin. I was the victor, so I will be on the clock. With the first pick, we don't have that noise, but if it was that, you know, that NFL noise, doo-doo-doo, or whatever that noise is. So I'm officially on the clock. So as I approach the clock, my first choice, the number one pick in our musical draft, is arguably the best song of 1987, which is why I will not wait to grab it, and I will take it right here. It is Alone by Heart.
Really?
Number one. I love this song. It hits so good.
It's a great song. Oh, this is your number one pick?
Number one pick in the
draft? No, you're playing with my head.
No, it's right there. I just said it. No, number one pick.
No. This is... No.
What do you mean, no? I'm playing it right now.
No.
From 1987, this is my number one, the number one pick in the draft. So however you want to lay that out, this can be a draft bust later if you think so, but this is my number one pick. Released May of 87, was number one for 3 weeks in the U.S., number one in Canada, and top 10 in 7 other countries. This is actually a cover, and you're going to like this, Rob. The original version was sung on TV by John Stamos, a.k.a. Uncle Jesse. Love this song, one of my favorite 80s songs of all time. Kids love it. We watch a show called The Goldbergs on ABC, and they had an episode where the sister of one of the Goldbergs' kid, every time their friends were over, if they touched her arm or like got near her, mm-hmm. that part would come in where it goes, till now. And so it's like they all fell in love with her instantly all the time. It's really funny. And that's where my kids first heard that song. And now Ethan has it on some playlists. It's a really good song. He likes it. It's I love it. It's
great
awesome.
Song.
Number one pick in the draft is Heart.
Alone. You're playing games.
Quit playing games with my heart. No? Okay.
You're up to something.
Well, you're up. You've got the number. You've got your number one pick. Technically, our number two pick in our draft.
Okay. I'm going with.
Wow, good. It's really good.
Come on.
I know. I can't argue.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Frank the Tank.
Yes.
Definitely on my draft board. Okay. So I will have to pivot at some point. Yeah, because you have taken a player off of my board now at this point.
Okay. All right. So some things about British rock band White Snake.
Ooh.
It was originally released in 1982.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's their only number one. It's on a bunch of lists for best songs ever, greatest songs of the 80s.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone ranked it ninth among top 10 best hair metal songs of all time.
So good.
This is interesting. Original lyrics, and here I go again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known, like a hobo.
Hobo.
I was born to walk alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I just put video, Tawny Kitaen on a hood.
What are they?
What do you mean?
What kind of cars are they? Did you research that?
Jaguar. No.
They are Jaguars. Yeah. Good job. You saved the day.
Look at that.
And of course, now what do we know it for? What do I remember it for? You should probably remember it.
Jaguar. I don't know.
Old school. Frank the Tank. Remember he's fixing his car?
Yeah.
So good.
And they were married, Tawny Kitaen and David Coverdale.
They were.
The lead singer. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is just a great amount of crimped hair and hairspray in that video.
Oh yeah,
I mean the lead singer might have better hair than Tawny Kitaen.
Oh
so
yeah,
that's a real possibility.
No, I think that's
all right. So the first two players off the board, Heart,
okay,
and White Snake, really good by the way. That's a good start. So, my second pick, the number three pick in our draft, is the second best song of 1987, even better than White Snake, and it comes from one of my favorite artists, who I technically loved in the late 80s, and that is Belinda Carlisle.
Whoa.
And you know it's Heaven is a Place on Earth.
You like this song.
Oh, literally one of my favorites. So if you go to Alone and Heaven is a Place on Earth, these are my top two favorite songs of this year. Oh.
Man, your draft is...
It's getting going good, isn't it?
Well, it's not what I would have thought. But
I don't understand. You don't know me at all, Rob.
No.
This point, you just don't know me at all.
Our draft team was
scouting
your draft team.
I gotcha.
We did not.
You're way off. You should fire off your whole scouting department. Well, this was released 14 November 1987. Was number one for 1 week. Also number one in Ireland, Norway, South Africa, Switzerland, Sweden, the UK, Zimbabwe, and of course, my friends in New Zealand. It was also in the top 10 in 11 other countries. So this song was a juggernaut everywhere it went. Because it's awesome. At this age, I just mentioned I had a huge crush on Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah.
I think I had a poster. So this song was a no-brainer for me. I had the cassette single, listened to it a lot. I recorded the video off MTV to watch that too because Belinda. So this is a vivid youth memory for me. Like, I remember this song. Every time I hear it, I feel like I'm back in sixth grade watching Belinda, you know, getting the tingles, right? Do we know the tingles? They're there.
Getting the tingles.
Down in my plums. All right. So that down takes us to your second pick, our fourth pick in the draft now.
So mine is...
Iconic 80s song. You went metal right out the gate on your first two. Really good. Give it. That's like the party anthem of the 80s, I think sometimes.
Party anthem.
When that hits, nobody doesn't know that song. Right? It's so good.
The band, this is what'd you say? It was the party anthem.
It feels like the party anthem of the 80s. Like that chorus hits, you'd be at a party. I could just see everybody yelling it at the same time, you know, hands in the air, things like that. It would have been great.
It is listed as the band's signature song. Yeah. In 2013, the song was certified triple platinum for over 3 million digital downloads. The official music video reached 1 billion views on YouTube in 2023. And in 2021, Rolling Stone ranked the song at number 457 in their updated list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. So cracked the top 500 for good old Rolling Stone.
Came off one of the best titled albums of all time, Slippery When Wet, which I probably didn't understand in 1987, but now I do.
Will you do something for me again? Will you say that album title again?
Slippery When Wet.
You What's up with the W?
What?
With the what?
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 What? What? What's the problem?
Nobody says that. Slippery When Wet.
What? That's where it's from. So, yeah. I just imagine people in Camaro T-tops, sleeveless band T-shirts, chugging the champagne of beers, Miller High Life, just going in on Living on a Prayer, right? That's an 80s like image in my head. That just
That's
right.
Definitely like a... like a bar band song, or like a bar song too. If that comes on in a bar, it's a good karaoke song. People can sing it. They can sing along.
And having lived in New Jersey, they freaking still love this song. Love it's always on the radio. This and Billy Joel, man. They love Billy Joel.
So, all right.
All right.
Well, I got my first two picks. I feel good.
You're good. I've got my first two picks, and now I'm getting my third pick, which I didn't think I was going to get. I'm so excited that I did. It is by The Cutting Crew. I Just Died In Your Arms Tonight. I just died on your arms tonight. Oh, I love this song.
No way. I just died on your arms
tonight. Oh, when that hits right there.
This is your third pick?
Third pick.
Wow.
So we got Heart, I've got Belinda, and I've got The Cutting Crew. This was released July of 86, actually, but it went to number one in May of 87 for 2 weeks. So how about that slow climb to the top? Almost a year to get to number one after release. Also went to number one in Canada, Finland, and Norway, and was top 10 in 8 other countries, including number 4 in West Germany. So take that, Scorpions. Another must-have for 80s music lovers. This song plays at every 80s party, club, whatever you go to. If there's an 80s thing happening, you're hearing this song. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, but Rob, what do we know it for now?
So well, I hope I'm saying it right.
There's an SNL skit. Yes.
With Horatio Sands. Is that Horatio Sands?
And Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So they get paid to play a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And they get paid a couple $1,000, and they literally learn that first part of this song.
And that's the only thing they know.
I just died in your...
And but then my favorite
Horatio
part
goes,
is...
something you said. That's what I was going to say. So, but then
all he knows.
Yep, they don't know any more of the song, so they just keep playing that part over and over again, and everybody gets really upset.
And then in typical Will Ferrell fashion, they finally just kind of come clean, and they go, okay, this is literally the only song we know.
That's it.
This is all we've got.
This is all we've got.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Try to change up the pace a little bit, but it's still the same chorus and the same. That's all they know. Yep. Anyway. All right.
Well, those are my first three picks.
All right.
And I got them unfettered. Okay. So I got to take them with no resistance from you whatsoever.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
All right. Our draft team is feeling good.
Yeah. You're okay. On your third pick.
Here we go.
We'll see if you got what you want.
My number three is... Great duet.
Yes, this was definitely...
Now, I know how much you don't like the movie, but this song...
No, the song's great. And this was definitely on my... definitely on my draft board, and now it has been stolen. But that's fine. Oh, it's really good.
There it goes.
Great. I remember listening to this song on the back of the bus, riding to school.
Back of the bus.
It always played in the morning for some reason.
I remember at the babysitter.
Yeah.
Come to me, spaghetti
arms. Come to me, spaghetti arms. Is that what it was? Well, you stole it like a thief in the night.
Yes.
So you took it off my draft board there. Uh-huh. I won't lie.
Well, I will say you took Cutting Crew.
Yeah.
Off of my.
Well, you waited way too long to want to draft that.
So I'm going
to. That kid's too talented to wait three rounds to pick up.
I'm going to have to do some
digging.
Creative. And there's no trades.
No.
Like no draft day trade.
There are no trades.
All right.
All right. So
you're on your number.
You don't want to tell us anything?
Oh,
you got nothing else about the Dirty Dancing?
No. Well, it's from Dirty Dancing, obviously. It won Academy Award for Best Original Song.
It did.
Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song. And the Grammy Award for Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group. So? It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Good song. You took that right off. I would say your first three were all on my draft board.
Yes.
So you've really thrown a dent. Right into the middle of what I have. I did notice you didn't mention that the song was not just number one in the U.S. It was number one in five other countries.
Oh.
Significantly in South Africa. Oh. So number one there. So good for them. They like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
So, but yes, this is a back of the bus song. We'd be on the back of the bus and I'd be singing and I wouldn't even care who heard me.
Were you? I wasn't ever cool enough to sit in the back of the bus.
Oh, no. I sat in the back. I had some friends. We would sit in the back, me and Mike and Scott.
I was kind of a front of the bus kid. I was right there behind the driver talking to the driver. Yeah.
Somebody's got to talk to the driver. I was not a driver talker, but I'm glad somebody did it. I would have been the kid like in Billy Madison where I hit him with my sandwich, you know, where he yells and he'll turn this damn bus around, right? So, all right. Well, that takes me to my fourth pick. And I've had to shuffle a little bit.
Right.
So for number four, I'm going to go with the queen for me of the 80s, Whitney Houston. And it is a fun, I want to dance with somebody.
Damn you, Scuba Steve.
Oh, this is really good. Great pop song.
This is your number four?
It's my fourth pick. Oh.
Yeah, this
That's
is actually
really, really good.
This is actually that was actually my next pick.
Ooh, so you've swiped. You swiper, have. No swiping. This was released 2 May 1987. Number one for 2 weeks in the U.S. and number one in 14 other countries. In fact, the only country I couldn't find it as a top three hit in was France. Not sure what happened to the French, other than as we've learned, they're a little stingy on music sometimes. Whitney won a Grammy for this song. Fun 80s dance song, great pop effect. Probably not my all-time favorite Whitney Houston song, but a really good one. And definitely a roller rink special right there. So that is happening.
I thought she was really cute.
She's
good looking.
Yeah, she looks good.
Hey, I will add, I read that the video was remastered to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the release of Whitney. And it was has over 399 million views as of May of 2023 on YouTube, making it the fifth most watched music video by a female artist released in the 1980s, behind Cyndi Lauper's "Time After Time," Madonna's "La Isla Bonita," Bonnie Tyler's "Total Eclipse of the Heart," and Lauper's "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." So, in that order.
That is good.
But, yeah. Anyway. So it's
I'm glad you had that information since I stole your pick out from under you.
Okay, but so I'm feeling good about my number.
So that takes you to your fourth pick now that you have to make.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
So this should be total the eighth pick so far.
All right. Here we go. Yes. Come on now.
Great song. And like it was literally my next
choice. I almost picked this right out of the gate because I know how much you love this song.
It's upsetting. Yeah. I love that song. It's great. It should have been on my team. I waited too long. I should have taken that instead of Whitney. My first strategic mistake in this draft.
Yes.
But I like Whitney, so I won't be too upset about it. Starship, great. Great song.
Oh, here. Some things about it. Starship is the band. Mm-hmm. It's considered a power ballad. Duet featuring vocalist Grace Slick and Mickey Thomas. I never knew the guy's name. It's from the movie Mannequin.
It is.
Would you consider that a great movie?
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie, okay.
I'm not going to give it great. It is good. It's entertaining.
It received a nomination for Best Original Song at the 60th Academy Awards. So there you go.
Really good. All right.
So you're having to readjust.
Yeah, I've got a lot of shuffling to do. Basically, you somehow through what you've done, my next four picks are just extracted. So for my fifth choice, the team was ready for your nonsense. And as I look around the board, I try to figure out what I think are the next best songs. And I'm going to go with Faith from George Michael. This was a big, big song in 1987.
Yeah.
And I think worthy of being drafted.
Yeah. The slow organ. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the slow organ jump in.
Because then it kind of ratchets.
And it hits
the. Do you remember the video?
And of course.
He's standing by the.
The jukebox.
The jukebox.
He's got that sweet leather jacket on.
And the
which he then burns in the Freedom 90 video.
And the Ray-Bans and the boots.
The ladies liked him.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like the ladies, but they liked him. He was really good for them. Limp Bizkit did a remake of this. What do you think of that?
Oh, I have that in my notes. Okay. I kind of liked his remake.
That's all right. Well, there it is. Nice. It would be nice to touch my body. This was released 30 October 1987, was number one for 4 weeks, including the first week of 1988, so bled over. Number one in Canada, Denmark, Spain, and the UK. We talked about that music video. I thought he was cool. I wanted that leather jacket and that 5 o'clock shadow because me, 10-year-old, 11-year-old Dave, no 5 o'clock shadows happening there. Won a slew of awards, a Grammy, an AMA, MTV, and as I just mentioned, Limp Bizkit does what I think is a unique cover in the mid-90s. Some people like it, some people hate it, but the original is always going to be the best. So I will take George Michael here in this spot, and that gives me a strong first five songs.
Well, and in my notes, this isn't 87, but my notes say it was the number one single of the year in the United States in 1988.
It was. It bled right over into that.
Did you say that? And I wasn't listening.
I didn't say that. I did say it went number one in 88.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't say it was the number one overall.
Yeah.
Number one.
It was a...
So, all right. That's my top five. So, this is your fifth.
This is my fifth.
Pick. So, let's see if you can steal something else that I have.
All right. My number five. You probably won't, but...
let's hope not.
We're going to go for it.
Taking all the other ones. You went with Weird Al's Fat?
No.
Oh, that's right. There was another song.
Yeah.
You went with Michael's Bad. Now, this wasn't on my draft board, so it's good.
All right, we're safe.
I'm glad you're not stealing one.
There we go. All right. Yeah, so that's obviously Bad by Michael Jackson. Let's see. Written and composed by Jackson. And it was produced by Jackson and Quincy Jones. Influenced by a true story that Jackson had read about a young man who tried to escape poverty by attending private school but was killed when he returned home. That's got kind of a dark message to it.
Yeah.
Why else would you pick it? I didn't recall. It's a short film for Bad premiered on a TV special, Michael Jackson, The Magic Returns, on CBS during primetime on August 31st, 1987. It was directed by Martin Scorsese and co-starred Wesley Snipes in one of his first appearances. I don't recall Wesley Snipes being in that.
I did not watch that.
The video was kind of inspired loosely by West Side Story. It's iconic. They talk about his outfit and fashion and the whole leather thing. And anyway, so yeah. So number five.
Perfect.
My number. I think he's a great addition to our team, and we'll do great.
It's a good song. You know, Bad's coming off the bench on my team, but I see you can be a starter for you.
Yeah.
So that's all right. Well, I'm going to go to another. You had an iconic 80s person. I'm going to pivot to an iconic 80s band.
Ooh.
So for my sixth pick, we're going to go with another one of my favorites, the Bangles, Susanna Hoffs, Walking Like Egyptians.
Okay, okay. Which one? Your number what?
Should be my sixth choice.
Yeah. That little eye thing she does.
The side eye. Ooh. Oh, really good. I mean, I would tell you everything she did in the 80s was good for me. But again, the plums would be... no. Anyway, released in 86, spent 4 weeks at number one in the U.S. to include the last 2 weeks of 86 and the first 2 weeks of 1987. It was Billboard's number one hit of 1987. So this, like Faith in 88, this was 87. Also went to number one in Australia, Belgium, Canada, South Africa, the Netherlands, and Spain. Mm-hmm. Only 83 in Japan, though, so not big on the Egyptian walk, despite the lyrical shout-out. All the Japanese with their yen, all right? But they do say some other stuff, so I'm not sure if they like it. Huge song, the one most people think of when you hear the Bangles. Not my favorite. Eternal Flame is my favorite, but this would be right there. Didn't really make much sense, even at 11. It was on the radio all the time. Not sure why they wanted to walk like an Egyptian. Did Egyptians even walk like that? Or is it just they saw a hieroglyphic and said, that's it?
I actually have, but I was going to add that.
Definitely warrants a place on the list, on the draft, and it's one of the best 20 songs. So that is my sixth pick.
All right. In my notes, I have that it was the band's first number one single, and it was ranked Billboard's number one song of 1987.
Yeah, so, I said that.
Oh, you said that?
I did.
I think he's the songwriter. I don't know. Said he was inspired to create the song while on a ferry crossing the English Channel. When the vessel hit choppy water, passengers stepped carefully and moved their arms awkwardly while struggling to maintain their balance, and that reminded him of the depiction of human figures in the ancient Egyptian tomb paintings. He wrote the words, "Walk like an Egyptian," in his notebook.
Nice.
And then Walk Like an Egyptian was one of the songs which were claimed to have been banned by Clear Channel following the September 11th, 2001 attacks.
Maybe, what, because it's related to anything Muslimish? Or
I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, that's...
All right, well.
My number...
I stole the Egyptians, okay, so now.
All right.
Well, now what do you got?
Okay, I got number six. My number six is my scheduled number six, so I'm good.
All right. Oh, wow.
Here we go. It is...
Ah, yes, the U2.
Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Bono's so brooding.
Yep.
So emotional.
Yeah. He takes himself real too seriously.
Never. Could never take him too seriously.
Great song.
Joshua Tree album.
Yep.
Like the best album ever, apparently.
All right, so that's my number
six.
Song. Number six.
Can't be upset about that.
So Irish rock band U2, the song was the group's most successful single at the time. Their first number one hit in the United States. And Rolling Stone in 2004 ranked it their 131st on its list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. So
nice. I saw the Rolling Stone also listed at number 8 of the 100 greatest pop songs all time.
No.
So now I know you're no big Friends fan, but...
No.
In one of the early seasons, and my wife loves this, Rachel's mad at Ross. So Ross calls into a radio station to have this song played because it's Rachel's favorite song. And as soon as it starts playing, Rachel makes this phone call. So you assume she's calling Ross to say thank you. But then the song immediately stops on the radio when she hangs up and the DJ says, we just got a call from Rachel. And she told us what Ross did. It's pretty appalling. And Ross, if you're listening... I don't want to play your song anymore. So it's funnier if you see it on the show, but it's really good. And for anyone who hasn't seen Friends in a long time, I recommend going back and seeing that episode. And that song is right there in it. It's raining. It's just very emotional, as is our friend Bono, right? He's just really into that a lot, right? So, but that is a good pick. I had that on the draft board farther down as supplemental picks in case of steals, but I didn't have to use it. So I guess that's good for me.
Okay. Okay.
So that takes me to my seventh pick.
Yes.
In this draft, and we're moving up. I think it's our 13th overall choice. And again, I've had to pivot a little because of some of your thievery. and I'm gonna go with Madonna.
Which one?
I do like Madonna, and I'm gonna go with "Open Your Heart."
Ooh.
Good, solid pop song from Madonna.
This is your number what?
Number seven. Very 80s sounding. I remember this distinctly. I like that little ding, 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 whatever that is, that is a triangle.
The video is what I remember.
So, the video is definitely. So, released November of 86, hit number one in February of 87 for 1 week. Also hit the top 10 in 9 other countries. Originally written for Cyndi Lauper, but they never got to.
I did have that.
Yeah, they never got to play it for her because she was so busy. Maybe wrestling with Lou Albano. I don't know. But Madonna took it. Really catchy song. I love 80s catchy pop songs. Questionable video. You just mentioned video.
Yeah.
She's a dancer at a peep show. In the end, she kisses a 12-year-old boy and leaves with him. And she's flirting and dancing on the sidewalk with him pretty openly.
Yeah.
Seems problematic. But I was probably jealous of that 12-year-old in 1987. So maybe it's just some repressed hate for that kid and not so much for Madonna. But good song. Odd video, right? So.
Yeah. You said everything that I have in my notes. The only thing I put, I said, lyrically, it's an innuendo-laden love song. Again, I don't understand how anybody takes a Madonna song and goes, oh, it has innuendos. She seems pretty open about.
She does.
Like, we're not hiding anything
here. No, we're right out there where you can hear us.
Anyway.
All right.
All right, my number.
Did that steal off your board?
No, I'm still okay, but you're getting. It's going to cause me some problems here later, So we'll see what happens. We got a couple more picks. Here we go.
Well, let's hit.
All right, so my number seven.
Number seven.
My number seven is. Number
seven. You went back to back U2s.
I went back to back U2s. I had to get them both off the board.
All right. You didn't have to. There is no risk of me stealing U2 from you. I'm not a huge U2 fan.
Our scouts
that other
feel good about this.
The other song was better. A better, the previous U2 song.
Yeah.
With or without juice.
Yeah.
Much better.
So also again, Irish rock band, U2, received two nominations at the 30th Annual Grammy Awards in 1988 for Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
Yes.
Many critics and publications have ranked I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For among the greatest tracks in music history, including Rolling Stone, which ranked the song at number 93.
Great.
Of its, on its 2010 list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Greatest tracks in music history.
Yes. You know, I think maybe I don't like U2 because everything I'm like, oh, Joshua Tree's the greatest album. So maybe I'm just over it from time to time. It's a solid song, but no risk of me stealing that from you. Well, so you were good.
And I have never really been impressed in anything else that they've done. So I'm like,
okay. All right. Well, my number eight, let me get this out of the way because I like it. Pop song. I don't think you're going to have it, but we'll take it right here because it seems relevant time to do it. It's Atlantic Star. And it is always.
No way. That is literally, I think, the last one of my, whole draft.
Perfect. I love this. I mean, it's a love song. It's an 80s love song. I can't.
It is.
Listen
it's
to it.
It's the very last one on my list. We are not worried about it.
It's so good. Listen to those harmonies.
Okay.
Let's go make a family. Yeah, so that's subtle. Anyway. Released May of 87, hit number one for 1 week in the U.S. and number one in Canada. Fun, cheesy pop song, which is my guilty pleasure, so I like them a lot. I used to try to sing both parts when I was 11. I could still hit a few of those high notes because I hadn't quite become the man that I am today yet. So,
would you say your plums?
My plums were not ready yet. feels like a junior high slow dance jam or a roller rink song, which we've talked about before. This is one of those roller rink songs you'd skate while holding a girl's hand and you didn't fall. That's great. Very mature. If you were holding hands at the roller rink in fifth grade, you go straight to baller status.
Okay.
Zoom right past go, collect $200, all of it. And big ups to Oaks Park in Selwood, Oregon.
So you legit were able to skate and hold a girl's hand?
I did.
That
sounds crazy.
I was breaking my dang wrist. I was falling around all over the place.
She grabbed my hand, but you know, you just go in a circle. It's not. I'm not doing a lot of. We're not going backwards or anything.
Yeah, if anything, right? She's holding me up.
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to like the side part. They had those hills. I used to love going up and down the little
hills.
Oh, like
the little mogul things?
Yeah, good. On the skates.
Wow, you were really.
I was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't great, but I was solid.
You're good at some of these obscure things. Like, you were a decent bowler.
I was a good bowler.
Yeah.
That's a different day. Yeah. So, but straight baller status, if you're holding hands to Atlantic Star in the roller rink, that is a pimp move. All right, so that's my number 8.
Straight baller status.
Straight baller.
Oh, my gosh.
Do not pass go.
That song was literally the last song on my list.
Well, good for you.
So, I am not sad.
That's fine.
All right, well, I will trade you. Well,
there's no trades.
I will match your cheesy pop song.
Oh.
For this next cheesy pop song. Is this my 9th? No.
This is 8.
8th pick. Here we go.
Oh, you went with Tiffany. I was so kidding about that, but you really picked Tiffany. Do you like Tiffany?
It's a great song.
That's debatable, but yeah. A lot of synthesizer there. Cheesy pop songs, but even this is a little overcreated for me. The Mall Sensation.
Oh, yeah. Come on, listen to that.
Is this just a Beatles song? She literally had no songs of her own.
No, So I learned that. I didn't know that. That this is actually a cover song. It was first recorded by Tommy James and the Shondells in 1967. Then it was covered by Tiffany in 87. She was only 15, by the way. According to Tiffany, she also did not know that the song was about the prohibition of teenage sex.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
In 1988, Weird Al Yankovic released a parody of Tiffany's version of the song titled "I Think I'm a Clone Now."
That sounds right. I've never heard that.
There we go.
Did you like it? You listened to it. It's fine. You can just tell everyone that's listening.
You
heard it.
I did it.
You've got his greatest hits. All right. Well, that was another one. No chance I was stealing. So you were safe as all heck for Tiffany. I don't like that one.
You don't like what?
I don't normally tell you I don't like things, but I'm not a fan of that one. So that one didn't.
Why?
Didn't
usually, yeah. Usually, you're
no.
Like,
Tiffany didn't work.
Didn't work for
me. I remember it as a nostalgia piece, but as far as listening to the song, it's
I will tell you that was your choice of your Cutting Crew draft.
Yes.
Kind of bumped me down. I'm starting to get down into.
That's all right. You took the whole middle of my draft out. So that's going to take me to my number 9. So we're almost to the end of this thing. My number 9. Look, Glenn Gulia might not have been able to talk to Billy that way, but I can talk to him any way I want because this is Money Money from Billy Idol.
Yeah, I don't normally call you out. Is it Money Money or Money Money?
Well, there's no E's in it, so I guess the Money Money, the way he's sounding it out. But I think
he does say money. It does sound like.
I think he's just singing it weird more than anything.
Like a pony.
Yeah. So this is a cover of a Billy Idol song that was a cover of a Tommy James and the Shondells song.
See?
Billy released this originally in 1981 and then released a live version, this one you heard, in 87, which went to number one in the U.S. for 1 week. It also went to number one in Canada, number two in New Zealand. When this song went to number one, Idol replaced the Queen of the Mall's Tiffany and her cover that you just played, I Think We're Alone Now. Fun fact, this song was banned at high school dances in North America due to some questionable lyrics being added during the live version of the song.
Also, Weird Al Yankovic wrote a parody of this song from his album, Even Worse, entitled Alimony.
Alimony.
Based on the live Idol version, complete with a live audience.
Ooh, that's great.
It is about a recently divorced man complaining about his ex-wife taking everything he owns away from
him. Are you explaining a Weird Al song to us? How about you just get your number 9 pick out of the way? We don't need a Weird Al right
nine?
Now.
Oh, yeah,
well,
my
I just took
nine.
Number 9. You're behind
my
me.
Nine.
So
okay,
you're
my number 9. All right. I'm just going to go with, I'm going to stick with our plan here.
Do the plan. You always stick to your draft board.
Yes. My number 9 is?
Best player available. You went with Lean On Me. Did you pick this because of the Morgan Freeman movie?
No.
He's Principal Joe?
No, I just like
you're
the song.
A principal.
No, I just like this song. No,
that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah, see, everybody knows. All right.
Another one that was not on my draft board. Did not. Okay. I did not scout them.
So this written and recorded by American singer songwriter Bill Withers.
Yes.
Released in 1972.
Yes.
It won a Grammy Award in 1987, which is weird. So it won a Grammy Award in 1987 for Bill Withers as the writer.
Yes.
The song ranked at number 94.
But who sung it? Club Nouveau or something?
Club Nouveau, yeah. It is. The song ranked at number 94 in VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 80s.
Yeah.
So that's Club Nouveau.
Club Nouveau.
Yep.
Not on my draft board. Solid song. Yeah. Just not one I went to. So that brings us to my number 10 pick. So we're down to the last two picks. We're about to make the 19th and 20th pick to round out this number ones playlist. And through some shuffling, I stuck with my draft board, and this happened to fall to me. Now, you know how much I love duets, 80s love songs. So I've got one right here. I've got George Michael. I've got Aretha Franklin. Uh-huh. I Knew You Were Waiting for Me.
Oh. That's a good one. That was your number 10.
Number 10. So my team is complete. Great chorus.
Got some choices now being the last draft. I could maybe
you do. You are now at a position you can take anything left on the board.
I mean, I want to stick to my draft.
You can literally take best player available.
But man, I think I really like this pick, so we're just gonna do it.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. This is my number. Did you want to say anything about that song? I kind of just moved you along.
You did move me along. You were so excited. I didn't even want to get in your way. Right. This was released 23 January 87, number one in the U.S. for 2 weeks. Also number one in six other countries to include Zimbabwe. Man, they loved 80s music. This was Aretha Franklin's biggest Billboard Hot 100 hit. I found that a little surprising considering how many like solo great songs she had.
Yeah, right.
Great vocals between her and George here. Fun song to sing along to. This won a Grammy for Best R&B Duo Performance. Definitely has that, junior high dance or early elementary school dance song to it, or maybe playing in the background when you and three of your friends are trying to call one girl.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dave wants to talk to you. Oh, okay. Put him on the phone.
You're like, dude.
And then you get on the phone, you go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What do you do?
Or you have to talk to their friend. Well, tell her I think she looked nice at school today. Okay.
The awkward silences.
Never. But you would sit on the phone.
Nobody will know that awkward silence anymore.
We did that at my friend Dustin's house. He would call his girlfriend at the time. Her name was Jill, and there were like three of us in the room, and we were talking to Jill's friends, telling them what Dustin was saying, and then they would tell us what Jill's response was. So really, there were two or three of us having a conversation that didn't involve the two people that actually were supposed to be having the conversation.
Well, I will tell you, in college, that's how I met my wife.
That's great.
We were hanging out, and then I was having conversations with Kurt's wife.
Yes.
About whether or not
she
liked me. And then Paula was having conversations with Kurt's wife asking if he liked me. We were still doing it even as 20-year-olds.
It's a timeless way to build a relationship. Yes, the recommendations. All right, so you've got the last pick to round out our top 20 here.
There's some open that I didn't think were going to be open.
Let's make it happen.
All right, I'm just doing it.
Do it.
This is You Keep Me Hanging On.
It's good. Great pop song.
Oh, yeah.
Can't complain about that.
No. Yeah. Yep. So this was also a cover. So this was recorded in 1966 by the Supremes. Then it was recorded again in 67 by a band called Vanilla Fudge.
I like that band name. I don't know their catalog, but Vanilla Fudge sounds good.
The guy, like, sitting around trying to come up with a band name, and that's where we land?
Yeah. Maybe he was eating ice cream. I don't know. Like, this doesn't have to be hard.
This Vanilla Fudge is really good.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Perfect.
All right. Kim Wilde, English. I didn't realize she was English.
Yeah.
In the first 32 years of the Billboard Hot 100 rock era, You Keep Me Hanging On became one of the six songs to reach number one by two different musical acts.
Oh.
And in 1996, American country singer Reba McEntire's version reached number two on the U.S. Billboard Hot Dance Play chart.
Not a fan of Reba.
The Reba? You don't like the Reba?
No.
All right.
Well, hey, man, that's great. Yeah. That means we've now drafted and formulated the 20 best number ones, in our opinion.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about your draft?
I feel great.
You feel good?
So okay. My first three were the three I wanted. Then you made me pivot a little bit, but I still got a couple. I'm not happy about losing Starship. That was upsetting. For sure. And I kind of really wanted Living on a Prayer. I won't lie about that. But I didn't think it would last long. I thought maybe I had it for my fourth pick, but it didn't last. So I thought maybe I could get away with it was debating between Living on a Prayer and Cutting Crew because I thought you were going to swipe Cutting Crew. So I took that faster. And in the end, you did not take it. So, well, now that we've drafted our best number ones, we have each selected three songs that did not go to number one, but we felt should have been number one hits. And I definitely feel that about all three of my choices. And since I was the first pick, I will also make the first selection of the three alternates. And my first one is so awesome. I don't know how to explain it. They're a older band that kind of came back, I would say, in the late 80s. Very well-known band, by the way. And it is Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh.
With Little Lies.
Oh, good call.
Oh, love this song.
Where did this song
You know what? If this was a number one hit, I probably would have taken this number one in my draft. I like it that much.
It's a good one.
It's really good. Right here when they do that.
That is good.
When it hits that chorus, the Tell Me Lies, great song. Can't believe it didn't hit number one. Only hit number four in the U.S. Boo. I'm not sure why. This song, of all these songs, takes me back to 87 more. I'm not sure. I just hear it. I just remember being a kid. The nostalgia is there. I used to play this song. I had a little, at my old house that you never saw, I had a little basketball hoop in my backyard. And it was about a 7-foot hoop. And I had a radio in the backyard. And I would listen to this blaring while pretending that the clock was, you know, going down 3-2-1. And I was throwing down huge slam dunks, listening to Little Lies. And I always said, I told my dad once, I said, when I make it to the major leagues, that was going to be my walk-up song. It was going to be Little Lies from Fleetwood Mac. So 11-year-old David said, I'm walking up to Fleetwood. That's is what we're doing. Funny. All right. So
I had toyed with the idea of having, because I wait out front in the building in the mornings sometimes.
Yeah.
And I greet kids and stuff. And I was telling some of the staff members, we should have walk-up songs as teachers come up and just have them queued up. And
mine would be Little Lies.
There you go.
Or Playground. But in this case, Little Lies. I love that song.
All right. My first sleeper pick is...
Oh, wow. It went R.E.M.
Yeah.
Really good.
Great song.
This, yeah. I put this in like top three of my favorite R.E.M. songs.
Yeah.
I don't know all the words he's saying, but the way he sings is very interesting.
And actually, it only has like two choruses or something like that. There's not a whole lot of words to it.
When he does that.
He's saying fire over and over again. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And, you know, people kind of attribute it to like they'll play it on a radio. They'll call to have a radio show play it for somebody. But it's really not it's not a positive song because he kind of talks about I've always left myself pretty open to the interpretation. It's probably better that they just think it's a love song. However, in an interview, this is Stipe talking, the lead singer. However, in an interview in January of 88, he said that the song was incredibly violent and added it's very clear that it's about using people over and over again. Because there's a couple lines and it says, a simple prop to occupy my time. Uh-huh. And then later in the song, he says, another prop has occupied my time. So this is talking about we're using people over and over again.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Well, that so definitely
it's
does.
It's not a nice song.
No, it does not hit the plums at all. All right. Which is disappointing. Definitely. Good song. Solid. I like that R.E.M. song. Well, my second choice is from the greatest arm wrestling movie of all time.
What?
The over-the-top soundtrack. It's my man, Kenny Loggins. Ooh. Meet Me Halfway. Oh, so good.
This is awesome.
I love this song. And I love the movie. Turn your hat backwards, Rob. Become a whole nother person as you meet Kenny halfway across the sky.
And he got the truck at the end. Oh. He got the brand new truck.
And the kid that he stole at the beginning. Well, to begin with, I'm a huge Kenny Loggins fan, and he is the voice of every movie in the 80s, it seemed like. This is off the Over the Top soundtrack, as I said. Only hit number 11 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Again, boo on that. Better than a bunch of songs that were actually number one. This song and video have everything. It's an 80s love song. Loggins is singing it. Arm wrestling, 18-wheelers, Bull Hurley, and kidnapping of children. Yes, please. I mean, what else could I want? Right?
We're checking so many boxes today. Who's Bo Hurley? Great song.
Oh, he was the guy he arm wrestles the at the end to win. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So when we cover Over the Top, which will definitely
are
be.
Are we going to do one?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes. And I will have my hat backwards for the entire show.
I think it's a very underrated Stallone flick. Oh,
greatest arm wrestling movie of all time.
Yeah. Is there many? I think it's
that
the
is
only.
Not the point. The point is it's the best.
All right, my second sleeper pick is I will go back REM. It was 80. It only made it to 84.
That's crazy.
So it was
yeah, but
really
they weren't
low.
As yeah, big the yet. Time. They were more still that college circuit indie band.
Yeah. And here is my next one.
Oh, in excess. That's good. All right, yeah. Really good song. I like In Excess. Something about you, girl. His voice is very unique. You,
yeah.
Makes him sweat.
That makes me sweat.
That, Rob, hits what?
The plums.
The plums. You gotta say it right. The plums.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of the conversations ahead of time when your wife hears this.
She knows about my plums. We've got two kids. It's all good.
Anyway, that was Australian rock band NXS.
Yes.
It's the only NXS. I read this wrong the first time. It's the only NXS single to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Nice.
But
wait.
But yeah, that doesn't make sense.
You said it wasn't on the list, was it?
Well, no.
Let's look at our list.
So, no, it wasn't. I know it wasn't.
Did it make it in 88?
Maybe.
That's probably, I'm going to guess that's what happened.
I have a little star next to that note because I was like, that. I don't think that's right. Maybe in 88?
No, it's right. I'll bet you, after the show, you look that up. I'll bet it hit number one in 88.
88, okay. Yeah. Because right now it's at 93. So, in 87.
And when did it release?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It would arguably be, it was the band's signature song. The video won 5 MTV Music MTV Video Music Awards, including 1988. There you go, Video of the Year, and was ranked at number 21 on MTV's countdown of the 100 greatest videos of all time.
I need you tonight.
That's my other sleeper pick. That should have been much higher.
Yeah, I agree. Good song. Better than again some of the songs on there. Well, my third choice is maybe the best choice. Not Little Lies is the best, but this would be right there. It's a song I've mentioned on the pod previously. And that everyone should be listening to at all times. It's Steve Winwood. It's Valerie. It's awesome. Oh, so good. Wait for that chorus. Look at that.
You've mentioned this before?
Yes. I told you need to listen to Valerie multiple times. I love Valerie. She's good.
I don't think it's very good at Winwood's. Ooh.
Some good horns right there.
Is that horns? A synthesizer? What is that?
It's one of those two. Sounds hornish. Sounds but I'll give it to you.
Hornish?
Well, that's right, Rob.
What is that?
That's right. The Beast is back. Winwood makes another deserved appearance on the pod. Song was originally released.
That's the second time you've done it.
In 1982. What's that?
The pod.
The pod. Well, I don't want to say podcast. It's too long. We're trying to conserve time here, right? Just go with it. This was originally released in 1982, but remixed and re-released in October of 87 and only went to number 9 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. No go on that. It was number 2 on the adult contemporary chart, but I know this 11-year-old loved Winwood, even if it was more for adults. Alan Merrill, vocalist and songwriter who worked with Winwood, said this, and you're going to love this, Rob. Steve Winwood is the most interesting person I've ever worked with. Steve's a perfectionist with fantastic instincts and an unbelievable voice. Merrill wrote Joan Jett's hit I Love Rock and Roll, so he has street cred to say those things out loud.
Okay.
And In 2004, a DJ remixed Valerie into a song called Call on Me. And yes, it is also indeed super awesome. It became a techno hit, and Steve Winwood liked it so much, he re-recorded the vocals for it for this. And it builds, and then the bass drops, and the whole place, the rave goes crazy.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, it's going to oomph, oomph. We just have to see if it gets there. It takes a while to get there.
Oh, it's worth it.
It'll be part. But look, that's 2004. Winwood came back to a DJ's remix. It builds for a long time. This DJ takes a long time to drop the bass. But yeah, he re-recorded these vocals just for this track. And they changed it from Valerie to Call on Me. Here it comes.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It goes in quick. So, really, really good. Not as awesome as the first one, but very, very good. And side note, since I know Steve Winwood obviously listens to our podcast, Steve, contact the show, as we'd love to have you on as a guest anytime. I will bump Rob if you want to sit in here with me, and we will go over your entire catalog and talk about how great it is. Not joking.
All right. Well done.
You cannot back up Steve Winwood. I feel bad for you.
Why?
We'll see what your third choice is.
Well,
not be as good as Valerie.
Well, I think it might. I think it is. The Cure, Just Like Heaven.
Good song. I like The Cure.
94 on the list. Not
super popular.
Seems like a shame.
That is. Very good song.
I like that. I like The Cure.
Everyone likes The Cure.
So let's see. The Cure, written by frontman Robert Smith, who drew inspiration from a past trip to the seashore with his future wife. Smith's memories of the trip formed the basis for the song's music video, too. It's their first American hit, and he considers Just Like Heaven to be one of the band's strongest songs.
Nice.
So those are my sleeper picks.
Nice. Well, that finishes the draft. We got our top 20 number one hits. Mm-hmm. We threw in a couple of excellent extra songs that probably should have been number one hits. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the people were thinking in 87, but that's okay. So we have the top 20. What 10 did we leave out here, Rob? I'm looking at my list.
Mm.
Shake You Down. Gregory Abbott did not make it.
Yeah.
At This Moment, pretty somber love song. Didn't make it on our list. Looks like Head to Toe, Lisa and the Colt Jam.
She was on there twice.
She had two songs. Yeah, neither one of them made it. No. Very shocked that Shakedown to get on here. I thought for sure you'd have Bob Seger. I'm so surprised.
I thought about it.
And I'm talking the Beverly Hills 2 soundtrack, too. Yeah, so I thought for sure that would get in there.
I thought La Bamba would have been a pick.
Why, just because I want to talk about his brother, Bob? Richie, you want to see my drawing of Woody Woodpecker? He drew Woody Woodpecker better than anyone I've ever seen, by the way.
Richie.
So, he was so jealous of Richie. Oh. And the mom would just rag him. Bob, why is it always about Richie?
What was the other one?
Lost in Emotion was another Lisa.
Yeah.
And
The Michael Jackson one.
I didn't know that song.
That's the one I was talking about.
It went to number one. I'd never heard it.
That's the one I was thinking of. I'd never heard that song. I know the lead singer, but the one he sang with.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't know that one.
She was a singer in a band mentioned previously, the Brand New Heavies in our 97 hip hop.
There you go.
She was a singer for them.
You got the Brand New Heavies back around.
Yeah.
So. But I think we got the right 20. I would say the other 10 look like the songs I would have listened to a lot less. So
yeah, I liked your phrases. Some of these they're coming off the bench. And That's okay.
Yeah. Well, a couple of My Little Lies and Steve Winwood and Kenny are definitely replacing some of those clowns quick on the number one squad. No talent ass clowns. Well, that closes out our first musical draft on this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Rob, what did you think?
That was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I was very pleased with our picks.
They are good.
I would have been less pleased if I'd
I wasn't pleased you stole a couple of mine, but that's how drafts go. So yes. We don't always get everything we want. So we hope you've enjoyed hearing our number one picks of the Billboard number one of 1987 with a few other bangers thrown in. Steve Winwood. If you like this podcast, hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. Then head on over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us feedback and 5 stars, which will help the show grow. If you want to have feedback about the plums, that's fine. We can listen to that. Rob and I love hearing from our listeners, so please leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our website, which are all included in the show notes. Also, if you like today's musical choices, there are links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes. You can also find the playlist for all of our previous music-based episodes. Finally, go ahead and email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas that you may want to hear in the future. And don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall.
Wow. So that was a lot. What are we doing next time?
Next time, we will be covering the 1986 classic comedy, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
No, I got nothing.
Got nothing? Got some study to do? Watch a movie?
Yep.
And then we'll get at it.
That's right.
All right. Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
All right.
All right. Peace out.